Time for stage direction on 95 BFM.
Yeah, and?
And it's happening now.
Yeah, and?
And it's time to listen to it.
Awesome, and?
And then the dog picked up a knife.
You're listening to stage direction on 95 BFM.
Damn, I want to know what happened to the knife, to the dog.
I hear that they are still out at large.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
This is going to be a sequel. Laika, welcome to 95BFM for your, what I would call episode one of the new stage direction.
Thank you so much for having me.
Regular listeners will know that Laika was on air 2 weeks ago, and it was a little bit of a, what do you call it, prologue.
Prologue, yeah. Love that.
The concept was promised. Will it be fulfilled?
I surely hope to the Lord above that it will be. It's been a big couple of weeks. I've seen a lot of stuff.
Good.
There's a lot of really cool things happening at the moment, a lot of big Pride events happening as well.
Mm.
Of course, we had like a big gay out happen over the last couple of weeks, and that had its own theatre to it.
A theatre of humanity.
Theatre of humanity, yeah.
Right.
But so one of the things that I went and saw was a really lovely device piece of theatre at the basement called We're Weird for Other Reasons.
Cool.
So this was directed by Dr. James Wenley, and it was a device piece made up of entirely asexual performers and people on the A-spec people, so people on the asexual spectrum, aromantic people, and everything that kind of falls into that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this really beautiful, joyous display of what asexuality means to each of these performers.
Yeah.
That was like kind of one of my main takeaways from it, was that like as I was watching it, I could feel the soul of them in it. And I think they said at the end that there was around 30 people that helped contribute to the stories of this show. And that's where they were all pulling from. There was games and there were scenes, there was this line kind of across the stage that every now and again, interspersing between certain events, the cast would stand on or behind or from A to B, and they would go through different elements of asexuality and different elements of the asexual spectrum. And people would say, I represent or I identify as like asexual to like this degree, this part of asexuality is important to me. And so you got to see a really colorful spread of how a bunch of people can identify as this like element of queerness. And another really cool thing was that on the show that I went to, which is the last show of the season, there were two moments when different cast members actually stepped onto that line and in front of their cast for the very first time said, I'm actually now hearing your stories over this past season and over this past week, I have learned that like a part of me has opened up and I'm going to start identifying as this. Or in one case it was the opposite, and I'm actually going to remove myself from this line and I'm going to go back into questioning and I wonder if this is actually right for me. And I thought that was a really beautiful depiction of A, just the magic of theatre to create this space where people can feel themselves and can feel can be discovering about them at all times, and also a really wonderful display of queerness in general, and like just this ever shifting, ever molding ability of like, you're constantly finding out who you are. You're constantly coming out. And that was one of the big things in this piece, in this play, was like the journey of coming out, the journey of figuring out your own asexuality and learning that like, just because you're going to be figuring things out and just because that asexuality can be harder than other forms of queerness to learn about yourself and to identify, that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with that. There's always a beauty in discovering.
Yeah.
I should also say, for listeners who don't know what I'm talking about when I say asexuality,
let's go there.
That asexuality is a lack of sexual drive. It's a lack of It's a lack of sexual want, and it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. I myself identify as asexual, and so this piece was really cool to be able to see parts of me that aren't reflected in a lot of theatre or in a lot of media very often. And similarly with aromanticism, it's this like lack of want of romantic, you know, feelings or romantic time and capacity and things like that.
Huh, that's amazing. And to see something so, I guess, what society might broadly call niche happening and that you actually identify with is probably so rare for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it felt like a very important piece of theatre.
Yeah.
Very important for people to go to this, be seeing it, and be learning.
Yeah.
And be learning in this, like, place of acceptance and comfortability as well.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Did you get the feeling that people had gone along who maybe didn't know?
I think definitely that was part of the show's kind of outreach, but I felt in my specific audience that it did feel like a lot of people who were asexual, or I'm not just saying that like I was reading the vibe, but it was like I was hearing the audience react in ways that like I was reacting, and like of like acknowledgement and of like, oh yeah, no, I'm getting this, I'm with you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great. Well, you said you saw three shows.
Yeah. So the next show that I saw, we're going to juxtapose that a little bit, was The Clitoris Conundrum.
Hey.
So The Clitoris Conundrum has perhaps one of my favorite log lines. It's Cam can't come. Perfect.
Yeah.
Tells you exactly what's going on. So Cameron, this character, suffers from anorgasmia, which is the inability to orgasm.
Yeah.
Never orgasmed in her life. Her gay roommate finds this out and starts her on this journey of like, hey, let's figure this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And so she starts going to therapy. Mm-hmm. The therapist played by this... I also want to say for this show, it's an entirely equity cast. Always going to highlight whenever an equity cast comes out, because as an equity member myself, we need to be seeing more of these. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to hear it and so glad to see it.
So also maybe it'd be helpful to explain what that is.
Yes, of course. Thank you for keeping me on my
feet. That's all
right. The Equity is the Actors Union.
Right.
It's the Actors Union of Aotearoa. It is the company it's the body that looks after all of our actors.
Right.
And stage and screen people and dancers and theatre technicians and all that. We're all happily holding hands and trying to fight the good fight.
Cool.
Of making sure that actors have good representation and all this
nice.
All this good stuff. So yes, love to see an all equity cast. What was I saying? Yes, the therapist, played by Lydia, I cannot remember her last name, which is me doing my job badly. But one of the funniest physical comedians that I've seen in a while, was just so perfectly embodied in everything that she did. She had these beautiful eyes that just struck to the audience with everything that was happening, and would come out just standing firm, straight. This woman had done her Laban efforts, and the actors know what I'm talking about. Cam sees this therapist, goes through these motions, and then has to start balancing healing with also new relationships.
Yeah.
And there is this sort of backseat through line of moving past a sexual assault that happened in Cam's past. And the show did something really fun with it, which is that it never quite, with text, spoke too much to it. The trauma was baked into the body in a way that was told through dance and physicalized motion, that cut through in a way that I think like just stating things can't always do. So when she has this like panic attack, she starts doing this physicalized motion of her hand kind of creeping up her arm and up to her throat. And then there's this dance piece that happens about two thirds of the way through it as well, that really sort of breaks down the emotional core of what she's going through. I felt that was such an inspired way of maneuvering around what can for some audience members be a really... I hesitate to say like dangerous topic, but like a topic that can spur feelings and can make audience members uncomfortable. The show also did a really great thing. They had a therapist in the audience and on site, so that if anybody needed to make a break for it halfway through, then the therapist could run out with them and be like, hey, it's okay, let's talk about this. Yeah. Or just, you know, tackle them to the ground and go, you're valid. And another really fun piece of staging this show did was it had a CRT TV in the corner of the stage. And anytime they'd be texting on their phones, you would see the phone screen on the CRT. Cool. And then it would, there was also like anytime they would be watching TV, that would play there. So there's a scene where they're like watching Gilmore Girls. And so Gilmore Girls is just playing on the TV. And it was kind of dangerous because for a minute I stopped paying attention to what was going on. I just got so enraptured in Gilmore Girls. And then they turned Gilmore Girls off and was like, whoa, what? Oh.
It's amazing how that works, eh?
It is.
Anytime, you know, it's like if someone's on their phone in the movies, it's like, it's not necessarily that I'm offended that you're on the phone. It's just that I've... You know, my little ADHD eyes will watch your phone instead of the movie.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
So I've realized that's why I hate movie texters.
Yeah.
Anyway, to put myself in that situation, but that sounded amazing. I really wanted to go to that show because really cool cast and crew, and but I was unable to. It was one of those ones where I was like busy every single night and I was very annoyed about it.
No, that's always kind of the hassle with theatre, is how like in the moment it is, which means that sometimes the moment there's too many things going on. You can't see everything.
You can't
see everything, and that's why I'm here to tell you what
you sounds like you
on.
Did.
Yeah, I really tried.
What was the third thing you
saw? So the third thing, I was lucky enough to see a rehearsal of a show will be being, it's going to be on the 27th and the 28th of February, so... This coming Friday and Saturday at the Corbin Estate Arts Centre, so down in Henderson.
Yep.
Down in Henderson, out in Henderson. Depends on which way north is. So this is, it's a show called Embrace.
Yep.
And this is BDSM meets dance and art. And for my money, it is it's a really wonderful, perfect marriage of the two.
Cool.
It's a show that started out conceptually in BDSM spaces. It started out as a number of scenes in BDSM spaces. So that is like in sex clubs as like sex acts. And the head of this cohort that's putting it together got really inspired by witnessing two people in motion and in each other's like personal space and in each other's like how two people can move kind of as one. And so steadily it's been more and more contextualized as a piece of theater and as a dance piece. And so it's six performers and it runs through, it's very interpretive. It runs through its beats that it hits, but they've said that every single time they do it, it's never going to be the same.
Right.
It's not like full choreographed movement, but what it is a breakdown of tenderness and isolation and exhibition and movement and how we watch people move and how we act when we're being watched, how intense, like... touch and sense of, like, they do a lot with sense play in this show. So like having feathers going across the body, or like I really like they start with these really light feathers and then it gets to a very heavy feather and then it's silks and then it's blankets and then it's chains, and you're witnessing these performers react to what is being played around them with in a really, really beautiful way.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's, interesting.
Yeah, and then I won't spoil it, but there is like there's some things in there that I think for people that are unfamiliar with like a BDSM scene will watch it and go, oh my god, how are they reacting to that? It's very exciting.
It's very exciting.
So if you have a if you have an interest in that, I would highly recommend that you go and check it out. It also has a very fun like pre-show. experience where, like, you get to feel some of the items that they'll be working with, which is a really fun way of doing it because they're really interested in getting the audience to feel what they're feeling, whether that's, like, physically or just emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just in terms of, like, recommending it to everyone, is there an element of, like, you know, you said it was performed in sex clubs and stuff like that. Is there, if people are squeamish or anything, is there anything to look out for?
There's no live sex that is happening in this show, and there's no simulated sex that is happening in this show. But I would probably say that it's, like, at the very least, like an R16, R18 performance. People are naked.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, like, sort of the most that there is. It's very dancey, more so than it is sex.
Cool.
But you can see where it has come from and how it's built from where it became, which is really cool to think about.
Well said.
Yeah. And then I got one last thing. I was very lucky to have a little sit-down interview with Hamish Anand, who is bringing his show Before We Begin back to the Basement Theatre for a fundraising season. Huh. This is described as Taskmaster meets sex education. It's a really cool... It's audience participation... the show a little bit, but it talks about, like, lines of comfortability and consent and where we, like, how will we kind of choose when to put up our boundaries and how will we choose when to, like, go with the game that somebody is putting forward.
Yeah.
I went and saw it last season. I think it was in Pride last year, and one of the most fun experiences that I've had in a theatre.
Cool.
So that's going to be on the 5th to the 7th of March.
So to the 7th of March,
in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And what's it called one more time?
It's called Before We Begin.
Before We Begin.
And I, highly recommend that you go into that knowing very little, but just know that, like, if you are a little bit hesitant to audience participation, this might be the show that can win you into it. Because Hamish is such a wonderful, wonderful
This might
performer.
Be the show that makes you want to die.
I wouldn't go that far. I don't think it's going to make you want to die, but it will. I think it will make you have a lot of fun with audience participation, because it's friendly and it's comfortable audience participation, and it's only as much as you want to put in.
Yeah, right.
But it's a really fun interplay between performer and audience in that way that I really love.
Yeah, right. I went to see probably the most intense audience participation I've ever been part of was when Bubba did a live at their comedy show.
Oh yeah.
And they speaking of Taskmaster, Bubba was amazing on Taskmaster. We're going to wrap up in 2 seconds, but I'll just tell you this. It was really incredible. The first thing that happened was they said, turn to the person next to you, which in most people's case was your partner, and tell them what the last thing you searched on Pornhub was.
Oh,
and then the whole room was just like and then Bubba was like, right, now I want the audience to separate into white people and brown people, because Bubba's Samoan, so a big Samoan audience, and it was very, very confronting.
Wow.
And then they did games like charades, but, like, you had to, like, and then you had to go and, like, different, you know, people of different kind of coloured skin had to go and talk to each other about privilege, and
interesting.
Somehow, whilst terrifying and, like, incredibly confronting, it was just amazing.
Yeah, that so sounds this like show that you're really, really fun.
Yeah, this show that you're talking about sounds wild too.
It's really cool. It's a very good time.
Amazing. Hey, we did talk about playing a song, which I might have to play next time you're in, because I have 3 minutes and I have to play some ads and things before the news.
I'll try see less theatre next
time. No.
I won't ever do that.
All good. I'll just do what I do earlier. But thank you so much, Leica, for coming in, and I can't wait to find out what you've seen next.
Yeah.
Arts Festival's coming. I'm sure it's going to be a lot.
I'm excited.
Indeed. All right. Well, here's a little ad break. And thanks again. And go to see these shows.
Yeah.
Oh, marvellous. Bravo.
That was Stage Direction on 95 BFM.